Before we begin, let us take a moment to put our hands together to worship, to venerate the Exalted One. The unvanquished one, the Vitaragi, Vitadosi, Vitamohi, Tathagatavansi. By chanting Namaskar 3 times all together and with me.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa
With the permission from the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Mahasangha. Subhavata Dakuya. And Happy New Year's to all of you too. I think in the monastery we had celebrated the New Year's in the best way we possibly could. Our entire family got together, sharing our meal with over thousands of people who came, and the Mahasangha. You know, normally the devotees will offer to the Mahasangha that day. I think for 2 days actually, the Mahasangha was able to offer back to the devotees, and it's a very heart-touching moment. I think I really do enjoy it. Because it truly feels, I mean, for me at least, I don't know for anyone else, but for me at least, it truly feels like one big family. Where our father, the most venerable Guru Thera, is at the front offering each and every person, every single person who walks in that line. He offers as many milk rice, as needed. And not just for one, two, or just for the monks, or just for the anagarikas, but for every single person. And it truly does feel like family. And with all of the other monks, you know, on either side of the line, offering whatever they have in front of them. So yeah, I don't know about all of you, but for me, it really does feel like one big family. And that family will all work together, individually, but also collectively, to walk on their path, to continue fighting with their defilements, you know, hand in hand, but also by themselves. Because although you'll continue to hear myself and lots of other people say that the journey to Nibbana is very individualistic, meaning only you can do it. It's only you who can attain your own salvation and no one else. But don't forget, the people around you are also a factor. So yes, it's although it's individual, also it's also collective. You need that association. You need that that noble association to get us further and further. So yes, although it's individualistic, it's also very collective. That's why you'll hear your teachers always tell you to surround yourself. Surround yourself with noble association. And that will drive you. Drive you either willingly or not. Because when it comes to the theory of cause and effect, you are insignificant. You are not a factor. When the factors come into play, will the effect arise? It's So when you surround yourself with noble association, you're driving yourself, whether you like it or not, forward on your journey. Now, also another amazing thing that happens on the new days, the dawn of the new year, is we get to ask for forgiveness. So literally, our entire monastery was able to fit, our entire monastery was able to fit in that hall, in the Dhamma hall. For how much longer? We don't know. Next year, we probably need like an extra extension just to get everyone there. But this year, the Dhamma hall was just about enough. And every single person would ask for forgiveness from their fellow monks or anagarikas, silashravikas. And then ask for forgiveness from the rest of them from the monastery. And it was very interesting because after talking with several of these monks, something that came to my mind is how easy it is to forgive. How easy is it to forgive when you're surrounded by people who are forgiving? The act of forgiveness is very easy when the people around you are forgiving. For example, of course, there may have been people who may have had small dislike to one another. But on that day, they would ask for forgiveness from that person. And although they may have had that, it may have been a very small dislike, on that day, they forgave. Because forgiving is very easy. The act of forgiving is very easy when you're surrounded by the environment where everyone is forgiving. If everyone was hard-minded, with a fixed mindset, oh, I don't like this person, I'll never like this person. Now forgiving is different. We get to hear stories upon stories of people who, create this grudge, create a feud which lasts years, months, years, decades, lifetimes. When surrounded by those who are forgiving, forgiveness comes very easily. However, it's very easy to forgive everyone else. But it's very difficult to forgive yourself. As we were going through this event, something that came to my mind is, it's very easy, but how easy is it to forgive you? Forgive myself? Because throughout life, unfortunately, because our mind faces, because of ignorance and attachment, we have vexation. Because of vexation, the mind will find ways to relieve it. Because our mind is not used to using the Dhamma to solve problems. Although that's what our teachers say all the time, practice, maga or no other, practice, contemplate. Although your teachers will always continue to tell you that, your mind isn't used to it. It's foreign. And so when the mind is filled with vexation, the first answer the mind gives is what? Relieve. Want is okay. No, no, no. And the mind will always seek a way to relieve it. Because when vexation is there, when the mind is filled with defilements, the mind is blind. Although you know very well what you're doing is not right, what you're doing is wrong. It could be as simple as, you wanted to sit next to a person that you like. Someone else is sitting there. So what did you do? What did you do? You moved whatever was on that chair and sat down. Even as something as simple as this is, You know it's wrong. But due to your vexation, due to the defilement that built up in your mind, what happens? Your mind wants to relieve it. Therefore, you do. And unfortunately, our minds are, you know, the mind arises, the mind passes, the next mind arises, and that next mind doesn't have that vexation. And now the mind is seeing clearly. Not clearly as contemplation clearly, but clearly as in there's no longer the built up of vexation. Therefore, it's now thinking, I shouldn't have done that. Aparadi. Why? I could have done it like this. I could have said it like this. I could have behaved like this. And now what do you feel? You feel remorse. You feel guilt. You feel that, why did I do this? See how easy it is to forgive you now. Once you've made a mistake, see how easy forgiveness comes. Is it easy? Because we're very focused, because, you know, in our minds, because of ignorance and attachment, there's this feeling of what? Me. And with me is always, I am always what? Right. I am always good. I am always, you know, doing what is needed to be done to, you know, survive. Because of this feeling that I am good, I am correct. And when the mind does something that is wrong, what happens? The mind now feels guilty. See how easy it is to forgive yourself? Does forgiveness come easy? I can tell you through my experience that when something goes wrong, when the mind feels vexation and relieves it, and later when you think about it, you start feeling remorse, feeling guilty. The mind is very reluctant to let it go. It'll remind you every now and then. It'll pop up with like, it's almost like a notification saying, do you remember this happened? And then again, a couple, maybe minutes, hours, days later, again, the notification pops up again and says, you know how, like Duolingo has like the notification saying, have you done your 10 minutes today? Like that, you know, the mind will pop up with the notification saying, oh, do you remember yesterday you did this? And again, the feeling of remorse, the feeling of guilt, the feeling of, why did I do that, pops up again. The feeling pops up again. Every now and then, you think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, you know, why did I say like this? Why couldn't I have said it like this? And now you're looking in the back. You're going into the past and believing that if I had done this, the problem would not be there and I would not be feeling this. Almost saying, if I could travel back in time and I could change what I have done, I wouldn't be feeling what I felt, what I'm feeling right now. At that moment, you really want to be able to go back in time. Because why? At that moment, your mind is ignorant. At that moment, your mind is deluded. You don't remember that, you know, everything is anicca, that you know, everything's timeless, that there's no past, present, or future, that there is no you. None of that comes. Because why? You're unable to see. You're unable to forgive yourself. You're unable to see clearly, and therefore you're unable to forgive yourself. And therefore you feel remorse, you feel guilt, you feel this built-up emotion. However, if someone else was to do it, if another person was to do it, for example, let's say a person one day got angry and said something. And they said something to you. They got really mad at you and said, why did you take my seat or something? You're very quick to forgive. Oh, come on. Vexation. They were feeling pressured. Therefore, they had to relieve that pressure. And therefore, they said that. It's not them. It's okay. And now you come to this idea that, okay, it's okay. I forgive them. Forgive and forget. You know, I don't remember anymore. You did that yesterday. Really? Did you do that yesterday? Because, you know, sometimes, I mean, it's very common. Some people come up to you and say, you know, I'm sorry. You know, yesterday I did this. And you look and think, yesterday? You did that? I can't remember. Because seriously, you don't. Because at that moment, you've forgiven and forgotten. But in that mind, the fire has been burning over and over and over again. Burning, you know, a small candlelight can turn into a forest fire. By burning and burning and burning and burning. So that's the thing. If it's with someone else, we're very quick to forgive. Like I said, we're surrounded by this forgiving environment. Therefore, when someone makes a mistake, you think, it's okay. When someone makes a mistake, you know, sometimes you feel this sudden urge. How can I help this innocent mind? But when it comes to your own, why did you make that? Why did I make that mistake? I shouldn't have made that mistake. Why did I do such a thing? You know, this idea of forgiveness should be universal. The idea of forgiveness should be universal to all minds. If I were to separate and say, you know, to your mind as well, I'll be wrong. If I were to separate and say to your mind as well, I'd be wrong. Because in this universe, there's no your or my mind. There's just minds. So if you can forgive your neighbor, the person to your left, right, front, back, if you can forgive the person who has wronged you, why can't you forgive yourself? Because you realize the other person has done that because of the causes. You understand that the mind felt vexation, therefore the mind had to relieve that vexation, and therefore you realize that the action was done. But why can't you see that in yourself? Why can't you truly forgive yourself? If you can forgive another, why can't you forgive yourself? Or like they say, you can't truly forgive another until you can truly forgive yourself. You cannot truly forgive another until what? You can forgive yourself. Because if you don't see that, if you can't see yourself to be a mind, how can you see the other person to be a mind too? You know how that some people have really good memories? They can remember every single thing that you've done to them. They'll come with a list saying that, you know, last week this person did that, this person did that, this person did that. I mean, they have a list. They have a very good memory. For some reason, they can remember every wrong that someone has done to them. They can somehow remember all the things that other people have done to them. But do they remember what they've done to others? See, we have to start to understand that we are talking about minds and minds alone. Sometimes it's almost, you can almost say it's almost crazy. Almost, you know, if you were to come up and tell a person who doesn't understand this, you know, everything is just a mind and mind and mind. I mean, people may even call you crazy, but all we have to do is we have to see that, you know, we're talking about minds and minds alone. Your mind, my mind, his mind, her mind, their mind. No, minds. There are no your mind or my mind. No, it's a mind. A mind arises according to the causes. the mind will arise according to the causes. So what are the causes for a mind to arise? What needs there to be for the mind to arise? The first thing the mind needs is what? Vipaka. The first thing the mind needs is vipaka. So this is the thing, you know. You know, like I said, you know, when we do something wrong, it comes like a notification. So let's say yesterday you have had this massive urge. Say, let's take chocolate. The safest one amongst. Right? You had this massive urge to eat chocolate. And so what did you do? You know, you found a way, somehow, right, talking to, you know, getting, using whatever contacts you have, or, you know, going through every road that you know, you finally find a piece of chocolate and you eat it. Fast forward to today and you look back at yesterday and you think, why did I do that? It was wrong of me to do that. You know, why, I am someone who's practicing the path. Why did I let my vexation take control of me? Why did I let my vexation overrule my morals and, you know, go and you know, talk to this person, do this, do that, and get a piece of chocolate. Now, what do they think of me? And now you're creating this idea and you're remembering what you did yesterday and you're now suffering. That happened yesterday, and today morning you remembered, today at 7 o'clock you remembered, at 7:30 you remembered, at 9 you remembered, at 12, at 1, at 3, at 9, and you remember this. Don't forget, the remembering of it isn't the issue. When you've done something wrong, or when something has happened that you don't like, you want to forget. You want to forget. And so whenever you are reminded of it, you always want to try to find a way to suppress, to put it away, hide it, you know, sweep it under the rug and close it, close all the doors, lock it away so it never comes back. However, can your memory do that? Can you put a memory, hide a memory away from yourself and try and forget it forever? You could. If what? You could if memory was under your control. If memory was under your control, we could do that. You know, if memories were like crystals that you store in somewhere, you can take that crystal and throw it away and you'll never remember it again. However, memories are not like that. What are memories? Memories are cause and effect. When the environment is right, the effect manifests. The memory appears. The memory appears. The appearing of memory is the vipaka. Then it runs through the mind. If the mind is with ignorance and attachment, what does it see? What does it feel, at least? That event had happened, and that event happened to who? To me. And now again, the feeling of embarrassment comes, the feeling of guilt comes, the feeling of remorse comes, because you feel that thing happened to who? Me. The more you try to avoid something, or the more you try to hide away a memory, the tendency is to do what? for that memory to keep coming back. Because whenever you say, you know, don't do something. If someone says, don't do something, that thing becomes, you know, something that's in your head. For example, you know, there are various tests where they leave a person in a room that says, with a button that says, do not press. What do you think majority of the people do? Well, they try not to press it. There are other things in the room that they can use and do not whatnot, but the idea of do not press, the curiosity of what happens if, because do not press, that means if I press it, something might happen. What will happen? And they say curiosity kills the cat, right? And so majority of people will actually press that button. Why is that? Because the mind feels vexation. Do not press. I am not supposed to press. So when the mind tries to, when you tell the mind, I am, you know, not, don't. Now the mind starts to feel a different sort of vexation. For example. Oh, okay. Let's take a good example. When was the last time you had? I'm trying to think of food here. When was the last time you had When was the last time you had a brownie? Let's say you like brownies. When was the last time you had a brownie? For example, for some of us, maybe years ago. Maybe years. But it wasn't an issue. Until when? Until someone says, you know, from today onwards, we're not going to have brownies. Now what? Or, you know, we're not going to, you know, you're not going to be able to eat brownies. I mean, that's something that a lot of people come and tell me as well. It's like, you know. You know, I want to come to the monastery. I want to come to the monastery. But when I come to the monastery, I won't be able to, you know, eat the food I want to eat. I mean, they give me names. They give me lots of names. Like, you know, my mother said, if I come to the monastery, I won't be able to eat kottu. You know, I mean, I don't want kottu, but, you know, every now and then a kottu is something I would like to have. Because what? Because, you know, when the mind says, you cannot have, although, you know, he may not have eaten a kottu in months, when you say, you're not allowed to again, now the mind feels what? This buildup of, I can't. Even if I don't want, I can't. Same thing here. When you said, tell the mind, you know, I don't want to remember this. What does the mind do? Reminds you. The memory isn't something that you control. Every time you create this environment, memory occurs. I remember someone telling me this long ago. When you hate a person, and when you love a person, what is the difference? When you hate a person and when you love a person, what is the difference? When you love a person, who's in your mind? Most of the time, that person. When you hate a person, who else is in your mind? That person. When you love a person, you know, you think about, you know, when I meet that person the next time, I want to do this. When you hate a person, if I meet them the next time, I'm going to do this. They're both very similar. That's why when you like something or not like something, that's why it's always there. So if there is something that you don't like, if there's a memory that you don't like, and you try to hide it away, unfortunately, it will resurface. But the resurfacing of a memory isn't what's the issue. This issue is where? The issue is when you believe what? That that memory is something that's happened to who? To me. That memory is something that happened to who? Me. And then again, you feel embarrassed and you think, I did that, why did I do that? And again, you remember, and again, you feel embarrassed, and again, you remember, and you again feel embarrassed. And that cycle continues. Why? Because you think that memory is something that has happened to you. You know, have you never had such vivid dreams that you don't know whether that dream was real or not? When you've had such a vivid dream that you wake up and you don't remember whether it was a dream or if that actually happened. Because why? Because that dream was a memory. And the mind isn't able to realize whether it's real or not. So I was talking to one of our 18 minus mahantas the other day, and they explained to me that, you know, there's a specific memory that they have, and they can't remember whether it actually happened or not. They can't remember whether it's something that's real or not, because he has very vivid dreams, and therefore, whether it's real or not, they don't know. The difference? If it had happened or if it had not happened, what's the difference? It happened, or it's a dream. When you remember it at this moment, what's the difference? No difference whatsoever. A memory is a memory. A memory is a memory. Let's say somehow I was able to take, you know, one of my memories and plant it into someone else's. If I was able to take a memory from this person and put into someone else's memory. Now, memories are not in the head, right? This is clearly a depiction of memory here. But if I was to take a memory from one and put it in the other, this person, if we were able to trigger that memory, what would they think? That memory is? Let's say we take a horrible memory from A. No, let's say we take a very bad memory from A. Let's say A has done something extremely embarrassing. A has fallen in front of a massive audience of people. Let's say had fallen in front of thousands of people. Right, not like a normal fall, but a very dramatic fall. And that memory we took from A and we plant into B. When that memory is triggered, what would B feel? When that memory is triggered, what would B feel? Would B feel that, you know, this is A's memory? Would B feel that this is A's memory? Have you ever thought that this memory that I have maybe is not mine? We don't think that because the mind will arise and pass. And when the mind arises and passes, because of jati, because of ignorant attachment, whatever is remembered, who remembers it? I remember it. And either B will believe that, you know, I did that, I fell in front of this massive audience, or will believe that, oh, wait, this may be something that I've dreamt of, or this may have been something in my previous life, or I may have a vision of the future. But B will believe that it is their memory, that memory belongs to B. Now that memory belongs to me. However, who did that memory originally belong to? A. That memory originally belonged to who? A. But it's something that had happened to A, right? So it has to belong to A. It was A who fell down. So that memory belongs to A. Falling down happened. We can confirm and say, with 100%, we can say the falling down happened. However, it's wrong to say the memory of the falling down belongs to A. Because the memory is just memory. Memory is just a memory. So, you know. No, I really want you to look at this. I really want you to really see this through the eyes of Dhamma. Whenever you remember something that, you know, you feel guilty or remorse or upset about. I mean, for example, you know, funerals. You've all been to funerals. You know, when a loved one has passed away, you see lots of people around weeping and crying and whatnot. But there's always a limit to how much they can weep and cry. You know, although many people believe that once they passed away, their loved ones will, you know, remember them forever. They'll be upset forever, no matter how, you know, even though many, many years have passed, there's always someone missing in our life, the person who has passed away. I mean, that's what we believe that people will feel. However, we only remember the person who had passed away when what? When the environment comes together in that sort of way. So, you know, sometimes in funerals, you see that, you know, say, the mother has passed away, and so the children are weeping, crying, and lamenting. One day, two day, third day, fourth day, and now you go through the stages of grief. But then at one moment, they're no longer upset. Because why? That memory is, that is something that has happened. But if they were to be reminded, if you were to remind them, my sympathies, my greatest, my deepest sympathies, you know. Again, what? The taps open, the waterworks open, and now again, what? Crying, and you know, the snot starts coming out, and, you know, weeping, lamenting. Why? Because they remember again. Remember that my mother passed away, and da 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 da. And then again, after a couple hours, they stop crying, they stop remembering, and they go on in their normal life until when? Until someone else comes and says, oh, my deepest sympathy. And then they start crying, you know, it was my mother, I loved my mother so much. Why is this? If the memory of someone passing away is something that's so bad, why do they stop crying? And start when they're reminded. Because when the mind passes away, that memory is no longer there. When the mind passes away, the memory is no longer remembered. Until when? Until the causes come to trigger the next mind. So coming back. So how can you forgive yourself? How can you truly forgive yourself? The only way you can actually and truly forgive is when you realize that this is a mind. That is a mind. This is a mind, and this is a mind. When you come to realize that these are all minds. Like I said, it's very easy to come and say that, you know, I understand that other people are minds, but can you see yourself to be a mind? Can you see yourself to be a mind? Can you truly see, you know, can you truly understand that you are a mind? When the causes come together, that mind arises. When the causes pass, it no longer. Can you truly see yourself to be just a mind? I mean, it's, and I keep telling you this because it's very common. It's very easy to feel compassion, right? Especially in the monastery, it's very easy to feel compassionate, right? You know, it's like almost second nature. You see someone who's you know, sad and whatnot. It's very, you know, it's very common for us to go and see what's wrong and help them in some sort of way. It's very easy for us to feel compassionate towards other people, but it's very difficult to feel compassion towards yourself. Very difficult. Because you believe what? This is me. This is I. This is someone who's in control. I am in control here. This is who I am. Therefore, I can't give myself an excuse and say that, you know, it's a mind. Although you look in the mirror and you see a body. Although you look in the mirror and you see a body. What are you? Although you look in the mirror and you see a body. What are you? Just a mind. Just a mind. So let's take a scenario. Let's take the scenario of something that you have done and you are very upset about. Again, you know, sometimes you won't feel very upset about it, but you know, you'll feel, you know, a slight bit of guilt, a slight bit of remorse. So the first thing that happens is what? For a mind to arise, the first and foremost thing that must happen is what? There has to be a vipaka. There has to be something to trigger it, something to trigger in some sort of way. So, a vipaka or this vipaka energy comes into fruition. Once it comes into fruition, right, so the vipaka comes and the base, the mental base, the mind base comes together. And then, because, you know, there are many vipakas. You know, we live and breathe in this world where we're surrounded by what? Thousands of different vipakas. However, only one vipaka comes and takes fruit with the mental base. And when it does, the mind arises. And we know that what? the minding process happens. So for example, let's say the idea of, you know, the idea of chocolate comes up. So what does the mind do? What does the mind do? The mind perceives. Okay, I just had the idea of chocolate. I had the idea of chocolate. Is that wrong? Is that wrong? You perceived the idea of chocolate. Is that wrong? Is it ever wrong? Can it be wrong? No, an idea is an idea. The idea is perfectly fine. You know how sometimes, you know, sometimes you have horrible ideas? Like for example, you know, sometimes you might have the idea, and it's actually very common. For some reason, it's very common. You know, what would it feel? What, you know, especially, crime is a very interesting thing. And sometimes lots of people do have this idea. If I was to murder, how would I do it? Me? Think about murder? I'm a monk, I'm a zealous Raga Shravika, I've been in the monastery, I've been listening to the sermon, and I'm thinking about murder. But the idea is just an idea. Or, you know, I've had a person, you know, there's several people have said, you know, sometimes, you know, at one moment in their life, they get really angry that they think, you know, if I can just snap another person's neck. And, you know, this, but, you know, some, I remember I've met this very, very timid and very meek person, right? Very timid, very meek. And we had a conversation. They said, you know, one day someone had said something and they got really hurt. And they said, you know, I had this sudden urge, you know, I had this idea that if I could just snap the neck of that person. And they're very, very timid and meek. And you're like, how does that mind have such a very big, very dangerous idea? Because a mind is a mind. Any idea can appear in a mind. That's not the issue. Because Rupa Vedana Sanya Sankara Vinyana is not the issue. The idea that comes to your head is not the issue. The memories that come to your mind is not the issue. What you see, hear, smell, taste, touch are not the issue. That perception is not the issue. It's never been the issue. What is the issue? The issue starts with the process that goes with this. That process is what? The defilement process. On the base of ignorance, on the foundation of ignorance, on the foundation of ignorance, the defilement process gives rise to what? Jati. Ignorance, on the base of ignorance, the architect of, or the mother of attachment comes into play. Mother attachment comes into play to give rise to the child of jati. And when jati arises, the first thing that jati does is makes it feel as though it is separate. That this is separate. That this is special and unique, giving rise to this feeling of what? This is me. Therefore, this is my idea. This is my idea. And then it starts comparing. Now, although we're talking about, you know, this is actually talking about many minds put together. We can never talk about a single mind because we're not able to comprehend a single mind. We're talking about minds put together. So the mind starts to compare, you know, this mind or this memory that I have, or this, say, for example, this memory I have. this memory I have and the mindset that I have right now. And when you compare them, you say, oh, why did I do that? You know how sometimes you look in the past, you look back at your past, and you think, you know, I was a person like that. I actually was a person like that. I was a person who people were scared of. I was a person that, you know, who had so much, raga, dvesha, moha. Yes, because you feel what? That was me. That was me. You know, sometimes when I phone home, sometimes my sisters will remind me of stories that happened. Sometimes I don't remember any of this, but they'll be like, you know, when you were younger, you know, you did this and this. And I remember sometimes I'd be thinking, I did that? Are you sure? How could I do that? I mean, that's not something that I could do. No, not like this. Because why? You're comparing with what? This mindset, the current mindset that you have. You know how sometimes you think, you know, if I had this Dhamma when I was back in my, when I was younger. You're saying with this mindset, if I was younger, will you ever have this mindset when you were younger? No, but you believe because Jati says this is who you are and this is the memory that you have. You know, when someone says, you know, do you remember you used to get really... Oh, you know how sometimes you make a mistake and a person is always there to remind you that you made that mistake. There's always that person who reminds you that you've made that mistake. Now, when that happens, you automatically feel, oh, this person's always reminding me. Why are they always reminding me? But the person can only do what? Can only give you the causes for that mind to arise. You're the one who says what? That's what I did. Someone in France had stolen a bag. Someone in France has stolen a space. Stolen a chair. Do you feel sad, upset in any sort of way? Or someone in France took someone else's space. Do you feel upset in any sort of way? Because you know, it runs to the mind, but the mind feels jati, and the mind says, well, that's someone in France, right? Therefore, it's not me, I haven't done that. But let's say you were to remember, you hear the news that we have CCTV camera footage of one of our Sila Shravikas stealing the chair of someone else's. Let's say you've done that before. Now what? You feel what? That was... That could be me. And now you're embarrassed and you're scared. Is it me or is it someone else? And you know, I have to find out who it is and make sure, you know, and maybe tell them not to spread it out. Why? Because you think that this jati is talking about you. No, something is done. What you have to remember is an event has been done. It's done. An event has happened. That event is not yours. That event is not you. That event is no one. It's just an event. Jati, remember it and say, that is what something's happened to me. Jati, remember and say, that's something that's happened to me. And what's the best part? The memory that you have? How do you trust your memory? How can you trust your memory? Your memory is cause and effect. How do you trust your memory? That's why it's very, you know, sometimes when you have a conversation with your fellow we say, with people that you know that are with you. You know how sometimes they'll remind you of something. Like, for example, when I phone home and say my sisters remind me of something I've done, I don't remember that. But they'll say, you know, this is what happened, that's what happened. Because memory is what? It's just a vipaka that comes here. And anyway, because of this process, vexation is there. Because of this process, vexation is there. And due to vexation, when the vexation exceeds a limit, what happens? Abhisankara happens. When the vexation exceeds a limit, abhisankara happens. Actions will happen. When your vexation goes beyond a limit, actions or energy will be expended through actions, words, or thoughts. Who does those? Whose vexation goes beyond the limit? Who does these three actions? There is no answer to that question. That question can only be answered if this process defilement give rise to a fixed self. No, but jati is just the feeling. So, when the vexation builds up, and it passes, it goes beyond the limit, actions happen. Who is to blame? Who is to blame? There is not a single person here to blame. It's the last couple of days and we'll continue. It's going to be very hot. Who's to blame? Curse the environment. Oh no, it's because of this, because of that. No, this is nature. Due to the causes, an effect manifests. Okay, let's say it's going to rain very heavily today. There's going to be a storm. Right? There's going to be a storm and then, lightning will strike and it will strike right next to, the Dhammo Hall while Guru Han's doing his sermon, and the electricity will go out and something's going to fry. Who's to blame? Cause came together, the effect happened. An area of negativity, area became very positive, that lightning struck. Lightning strikes where there is a massive difference, a potential difference is where lightning strikes. When there is a massive potential difference between vexation, actions will happen. Actions will happen. And therefore, you feel that this has happened to who? This will happen to, I did this. You're taking credit for something that has happened. You're taking the blame for something that has happened. Forgive yourself. Causes came together to give rise to an effect, and you say that was me who did it. Forgive yourself. Realize that this is what's happened. It's not me. It's not I. Causes came together and it happened. Accept it and forgive. The people around you have done something wrong. Okay, accept and forgive. See that it was the causes that came together to give rise to that effect. Accept and forgive. Accept and forgive. Realize that this has happened. Okay, and it's happened. Full stop. Let's move on. Let's go on. Let's move on from that. It's not that, you know, it's me. It's not that I did this. No, it has happened. Okay, full stop. Let's move on. However, let's change the causes so that environment does not arise again. Because remember, the vexation can only take, or the action will only happen if the vexation builds up beyond the limit. So there's these two things you can do. Two things you can do. One, put the limit up high. Second, get rid of the vexation. One, put the limit up high so you are now more patient. That's why the Buddha says, Kanti Paramanta Bodhika. Be patient. Put that limit up high. But not just that, tapa, tapoptitika. Meaning what? Get rid of that vexation. So increase that limit. So when you feel the vexation, you know, when vexation builds up, make sure that limit is up high. How do you increase the limit? By getting the noble views of others. By increasing, you know, when you get views, that limit differs. For example, let's say you really want to eat chocolate. And let's say a person says, you know, yesterday I did this and this and this and this, and I got chocolate. Now that view makes that barrier, right? That limit go down. So whenever you feel the vexation, you know that, okay, if I feel vexation, I can do this and this and this and this and get chocolate. Those are ignoble, immoral people. Be careful when you associate them. No? Be careful when that is associated. See, whenever those sort of views are given, understand and see it to be an ignoble view that's coming in. But unfortunately, a view can come in at any time. You can't control what views come in. But if you see it to be ignoble, it's an ignoble, immoral view, you'll do what? Distance yourself. Or distancing will happen. But if someone was to come and say, you know, yesterday I had this really big urge to eat chocolate, but you know what I did? I didn't eat it. I went to the Venimolu and I started contemplating. I went to the Venimolu and I contemplated until the vexation disappeared. Now what? Now your limit goes where? Sky high. Because why? Your fellow person. See, if the person that you associate the most comes and tells you, you know what? I came. I saw, I came, I conquered. What would that make you feel? What would that make you feel? If they conquered, so can I. You put the limit up high, and now what? Contemplation. You're creating the environment for contemplation. This is the thing. Always see if you can give a noble view to other people. Because what you give is what you get. What you give is what you get. The more you give, the more you receive. So, increase the limit while getting rid of the vexation. Because, you know, you can try to increase the limit sky high, but there will be no point if you don't get rid of that vexation. You want to eat chocolate and, you know, you're not going to eat chocolate. You know, people are giving you views not to eat chocolate and therefore you're not. But if you're still inside, the vexation builds up, there'll be a point where you're going to blow. There'll be a point where you are going to blow, and then no one can stop you. You know how sometimes people do drastic things for something very small? I'm going home. Why? Because I want to eat chocolate. something so big because of something so small. It's not because it's small, because that vexation has built over time and they haven't been able to reduce it, got rid of it, eradicated it. You know, there is no better environment to do this than the monastery. There is no better environment to do this than the monastery. Or else this is impossible. Because, for example, when you're at home, who's the boss? I'm the boss. I want to, you know, I have to eat chocolate. What do? You open the cupboard, you take a chocolate out, and you eat, and you close it, and it's not an issue. But in the monastery, if you want to eat chocolate, there's two ways. Three ways. As far as I know, three ways. One, wait for someone to give it to you. Two, ask someone who has access to something and get it. Three, find a secret route. Right? But still, there are so much. So for example, you know, you have to say, for example, you have to wait. So for example, not every day will you get chocolate. Not every week you get chocolate, hold up. Not every month you can get chocolate. But there'll be chocolate here and there. So if you want chocolate, vexation rises. And what can you do? Contemplate. But let's say you go and ask someone. You know, you go to your teacher and go, teacher, for the last 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, you know, I've been wanting to eat chocolate. Please, teacher, can I have some chocolate? What would teacher say? Okay. Let's have some chocolate. And so they'll go to wherever they need to go and get some chocolate. But now your teacher knows something. What do they know? That this, my student, that this mind vexes for what? Chocolate. The third path, I think, that's for your own demise. I mean, no place is so, you can't make a perfect system with no holes. Sometimes even, you know, our teachers will tell us that, you know, there are holes. We purposely leave holes. Or else what happens? Or else people will just, you know, I mean, if the vexation builds up so high, well, let them relieve themselves somehow, or else they'll just blow, like explode. But they're left for your own demise. But the other two? For the Noble Association. That's why, you know, there is no better environment to do this than the monastery. Where you're surrounded by the environment where everyone is helping each other. Like I said, individual but collective. Because the only way you can increase that limit is by having association, by getting the noble views. See, when you're at home, right? When you're at home, surrounded by, you know, ignoble people who don't know this, you go up to them and say, you know, I want to have some chocolate. What are they gonna say? Why do you tell me? You know, you've got all these options. You know, some, you know, you order now, you get it next hour. You know, use that. And they'll tell you ways how to reduce it. To reduce the limit, to quickly relieve that. Or they'll say, you know, why are you vexing for this chocolate? Ah, oh. You know, have you heard about these chocolates? You know, these chocolates are very good. These chocolates are better. But these chocolates are a bit expensive, but they are very good quality. And now what? Now you're vexing for not, you were just vexing for some sort of chocolate. Now, that expensive chocolate. You know, that's very good quality. Now I want that one. Did you see how this is massive? These are two different worlds. That's why, you know, the monastery, it's its own world. And that's why this monastery is a monastery that's only for those who want to attain Nibbana. When are we looking for, when are you waiting for Nibbana? Like, how many years? You know, next week? You know, I'm going to become an arahant next week. Next month? Next year? You know, in my mind, it's like this. I'm surrounded by extraordinary people. I'm surrounded by extraordinary people who do extraordinary things. When will I become extraordinary? Someday. I'll become extraordinary. Until then? Well, should I worry about it? No. Because why? I'm surrounded by extraordinary. So when will we attain Nibbana? We do what our teacher says. Surround ourselves with extraordinary. Follow the instructions and do. An extraordinary will happen. If you expect that, you know, I'm gonna do this, you know, very quickly. I'm gonna find a way to get this over and done with. If you make expectations, also expect disappointment. I mean, this is the beauty of it. This is the absolute beauty of it. All we have to do is surround ourselves with extraordinary people. And those extraordinary people will give us extraordinary views. And those extraordinary views will change us to become extraordinary. So does it matter when? Does it matter when? When will, you know, I've been here for X amount of years. You know, I've been here for 5-6 decades now. Nothing's happening. I mean, if you've been here for decades and you say that nothing's happening, then there's a problem. Because why? You still feel decades have gone by, and you feel, number one, decades. Number two, you feel change. That, and you have an expectation that there should be change. Because all we have, and we continue to come back to this point, all we have is this moment. I mean, that's what we have to focus on, this moment. All we have is this moment. Whether there's a tomorrow, whether the next week, and next month, and next year, and next decade, and next century, next millennium, we don't know. And we don't care. All we have is this moment. All we have is the moment that a mind arises, the mind passes. The mind arises, the mind passes. That's all that we have. And that's all that we will ever have. The mind arises, the mind passes. But yet, we believe what? The mind arises and passes, okay. But the mind that arises, whose mind? Is my mind. Therefore, I was arising in the past. and I'll be arising in the future. Because if you truly see this, okay. Today is Dakinayu, right? So, when you say today is Dakinayu, what do you feel? What do you feel? That in a bit we have to go to the Dhammo hall, and then we have to get ready. Then we have to do this, we have to do that. We have to put up the pearl umbrellas and help precede the monks to the Dhammo hall. Those are all what? That's all what? Currently, that's all what? Imaginations. Today is Dakinayu. Today, so for example, let's say I tell you, today is going to be very special. Today, you all have the opportunity to we're giving the special opportunity to our Sila Shravikas, right? They will be the ones who, they do this normally, but let's say it's special, right? They'll be the ones who take the alms bowl or the alms bowl of Guru Hanuman, and we have a special puja. Now, do you know, the moment that happens, you know how the mind starts to think about, then this is going to happen, that's going to happen, then we have to do this. All of that is what? Imagination. Is that wrong? What is wrong, though? That this is what's going to happen. Not knowing it's imagination. For example, that, okay, after this, where are you going to go? Dhammo hall. The idea of going to Dhammo hall is imagination. But if you believe that I will be going to Dhammo hall, that is what? Imagination. The mind has to realize that all we have is this moment. So did I tell you it's Dakinayu today? Today is Dakinayu. Did I tell you that? That's true. Because cause came together and you all heard what? Today is Dakinayu. The mind arises, the mind passed, and that's true. The rest of it, then if it's Dakinayu, we have to go to the hall early and we have to prepare the thing and we have to proceed the Buddha puja. Has any of that happened yet? All of that is what? Imagination. All of that is what? Imagination. All of the things, you know, every part, everything that at this moment, everything in the future is what? Imagination. You're imagining a future. And that's not wrong. Imagining is not the problem. But what happens is with that imagination, you believe that this is what's going to happen. Or this is something that's going to happen in the future. Or this is something that might happen in the future. You don't realize that it's an imagination. You realize that you feel that I will be doing this. Or at least you'll imagine that you will be there in the future. That's part of your imagination. But you fail to realize that it's imagination. Because we only have is this moment. And like we said, in the past as well. The past is also what? The past can only be remembered at what moment? In the now. Do you remember, I think 3 years ago, in the New Year's time, we had a massive festival. Do you remember that? That memory isn't talking about 3 years ago. That memory is pulled at this moment. That memory is pulled at this moment. But yeah, you think that, no, this is now, I am remembering something that happened 3 years ago. And you're giving it a feeling of time. That I was here 3 years ago. And that 3 years ago is what I'm remembering now. But really, that memory is happening where? And all this is imagination. You are remembering the moment at now, but imagining that this is the amount of time that has gone by. This is the amount of time that has gone by. And because of this time going by, this is, you know, I was there 3 years ago and this is what I experienced. Imagination. This is why, you know, this is why we keep coming back to this moment. Because all we have is this moment. Yes, sir? When we talk about time, I mean, the memory doesn't have the concept of time. The memory doesn't, although we remember the memory that happened 3 years ago, actually what's happening is, the memory is remembered now, but it's felt that it happened in the past. Meaning that it's like this, right? If we remember something that's, say, for example, let's say on Wednesday, the Tuesday. When was New Year? Tuesday. On Tuesday, we had New Year's. So if I asked you to remember what you were doing in New Year's, you would remember, okay, you know, this is what I had done. Now, the feeling or the memory is there. But the feeling you have a feeling that projects it back saying that it happened, or there's a feeling that says it's happened here. It happened in the past. That feeling is imagination. But yes, Tuesday, the new year was there. Oh, the effect of the new year has happened, right? However, the feeling that you have now, you're projecting into the past saying this happened on Tuesday. Because then if I asked you, you know, on Monday, what were you doing? You would say that, oh, I was preparing for the new year. You take that memory and you feel as though that memory is happened, or it feels as though it happened before the new year. That's also what? Imagination. That, because you're remembering that at this moment. So you're almost building a timeline. That timeline is entirely jati made. That timeline is entirely jati made. Because your past can only be remembered at this moment. Your future can only be made at this moment. So we only have a single dot, a single moment. However, we create these other dots and we connect them together. These dots are there. But that line is imagination. If this is present, if this is this moment, these dots, well, technically these dots are memories. However, the line that connects them, as well as the distance between these, these are mind-made. That is mind-made. So for example, if you ask an arahant whether, you know, on Tuesday we had the New Year's and on Monday what were you doing? You're preparing for it. He would say yes. But he knows that this is imagination. That this is part and parcel of our imagination. So if you asked him, what will you be doing tomorrow? He would tell you his plan, and he would say that, you know, tomorrow, Sunday, I have to do this and this and this and this. And he will tell you the plan. However, he will truly, he has truly internalized that. That is what? Imagination. That's not me or I who's going to be doing this. No. When the courses come together, that's the effect. So again, these are memories. The line that connects them all and the distance between these are mind-made, are part of the imagination. That's why it's very easy to switch these around. It's very easy to forget a memory. But yet you feel that your memory is complete. You feel that the memory is complete, that you know. We very, very rarely doubt our memory. We think that our memory, you know, we remember what we need to remember. But, you know, the memory is cause and effect. So, you know, if someone was to promise you something, so let's say, someone promised you that they were going to give you Guru Handru's alms bowl to wash today. They promised you that they're going to give Guru Handru's alms bowl to wash today. Let's see what it is. The moment they say that, you heard it, you perceived it. Okay, that's there. However, let's say you were going, right, and you're waiting for the alms bowl, right? And the person who told you that they're going to give you the alms bowl, you know, takes the alms bowl, looks at you, and walking towards you, but gives it to someone else. Why do you feel hurt? Why would you feel hurt? He said that he'll give it to me and I'm going to be washing the alms bowl. And you're upset. For what reason? You had imagined what? That I will get it. Yeah, he said that he'll give it to me. But no, he came in my direction. However, he didn't. Because you believe that, you know, he will be giving it to me. Because in your, you know, you had imagined what? That this is what's going to happen. But in reality, what he said is true. He said what? I will give you the alms bowl. That is true. Because why? Cause came together and the mind perceived what? This is what it said. But the idea that he will give it to me was what? He will give the alms bowl to me is imagination. So the idea that Guru Ram will be doing the sermon today is also what? Who knows? Maybe Guru Andhra is not going to do the sermon today. And if he's not, why would you be disappointed? Because why? You had imagined what? That Guru Andhra will be there. Because that's imagination. You have to really understand that this is imagination. Because if you understand it's imagination, now let's say you had understood it's imagination. You understood that because, you know, you understood that they said that they would give it to you, the Guru Ram will give it to you. You understood it was imagination. You realized at that moment it was imagination. Let's say they took the alms bowl and they walked past you. You're not going to be upset because you realize, you know that that idea that that alms bowl will be given to me is imagination. Therefore, you're not going to be upset. You still remember that he said that. Therefore, you'll go and tell him, like, I thought you said you'll give the alms bowl to me. But you will not be upset. Because you do not you understood that that was imagination. Because then they'll say, oh, I forgot. Right? Therefore, you're reminding the other person. Or they'll say that, oh, I was going to give it to you, but the other person wanted more merits of some sort or something. And therefore, how that happened. But in the end, it's imagination. Because of your imagination, were you creating this idea that this is what's supposed to happen? And when that didn't happen, you were disappointed. So forgive yourself. So in the new year, we went around forgiving each other, right? From the start of this samsaric journey to this very moment, through my words, actions or thoughts, if I've ever hurt you in any sort of way, may you forgive me 100 times, 1,000 times, millions of times. You went around asking forgiveness from others. You went around forgiving others. Now today, ask for forgiveness from yourself. Forgive yourself. Ananta sansara patam. Meho dakwa. Seek forgiveness from yourself. Forgive yourself. And let every mind start anew. Let every mind start anew. Forgive yourself. Understand, accidents happen. Understand, you know, issues are there. You forgave everyone else. Today, let's forgive ourselves. Let our mind start anew. However, it's going to be very difficult. Because you forgive yourself now, but the next moment you're going to remember, yo, I did this. And you'll go back, but forgive yourself. Forgive it. Forgive the mind that has wronged you. Forgive the mind that had wronged the mind. It doesn't work, does it? Forgive the mind that wronged the mind. No, just forgive. Okay. Then let's take a moment to transfer merits and conclude today's sermon. Let's take a moment to transfer all the merits we required by making offerings to the infinite virtues and noble triple gem, chanting Pirith, listening Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. So first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receiving all of these teachings. And with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to the Bhikshu Bhikshunis, Upasakas, Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha and passed it down to a generation of the noble lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend Dhamma. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all chaplains of all the chapters who have dedicated their lives to the noble path and committed themselves to betterment of all sentient beings. Let's not forget among them will be the monks and nuns, resident in local temples and nunneries, who have always been by your side, through thick and thin, come rain or shine. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to Guru Sananse, as well as other monks resident in the monastery, as well as Anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let's take a moment to transfer merits and express our gratitude to those who made great efforts to spread the teaching of the Buddha, be it by translating the sermons, sharing them out with others, inviting others to join them. May the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the willful planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to be required to our devotees, friends of the monastery, who for sake of merits continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes every one of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with shelter, arms, robes, medicines, as well as those who pass their know-how, extend their well wishes. May the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nirvana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to chant some merits to our mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, and nieces, our elders, friends and acquaintances, employees, employees, and to all those who have helped us, supported us, assist us in any shape or form. By the power of the merits, may they be healed any physical mental ailments. May they overcome any obstacles in their spiritual progress. May they abstain from unmeritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds. Fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path. Contains supreme bliss of Nirvana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to the devas, brahmins, spirits, demons, primate, sakadevas, numerous gods and deities who are committed to protect and fulfill the Sambuddha Sasana. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to our garden deities who keep a watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May the power of the merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom. May they abstain from meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain supreme bliss in Nirvana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all that has been friends and family to us in this even long journey of samsara. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all those lost life in a calamity. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to all the members of the armed forces, as well as the police force, who sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all those lost life in the world be their friend or foe, rejoicing in the merits required today. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all those who have lost their lives in a calamity, such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, pandemics, reminding ourselves among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in this even long journey of samsara. May by the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the woeful plane, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blessed plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from unmeritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain supreme bliss of Nirvana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve, may the power and the blessing of all the merits acquired through the day, we've been witnessed the event of many hundreds of thousands of Arath nuances, Arath Mahin nuances, in this blessed land. And finally, may the power of all the merits acquired throughout the day, may you and I, and everyone who made this program a success, become an Arhat Nuvansi or Arhat Mahin Nuvansi in the very life, in the era of the Gautama, Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings, Nobuja Bhujan, be with you all. The members of the Mahasangha will now transfer their blessings to you. Raga ginnin miditnva Dvesha ginnin miditnva Moha ginnin miditnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravitnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravitnva Mamada siyalu loka Siyalu satnvayo Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravitnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravitnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravitnva Raga ghini niveva Dvesha ghini niveva Moha ghini niveva Nivan sepa labeva Nivan sepa labeva Nivan sepa labeva Tunwangi Susyananta Mahaguna Belin Sri Loka Sri Satyam Nibbhana Paramasukhin Sukhitaravi.